If you're listening on podcast, be sure to tune in to our YouTube channel on YouTube at Wild and Weird WV.
Welcome to Wild and Weird Radio, a Wild and Weird West Virginia podcast. Welcome back to Wild and Weird Radio, everybody. Thank you yet again for joining us for another weekly installment of your regularly scheduled program. This episode is going to be a fun one. We do have some news we're going to tackle before we get started, but how's everybody doing?
Oh, we're doing great. And I like to mention this episode is brought to you by 10-foot tall aliens.
Yeah. Oh, the 10-foot tall aliens. Gotta
love. We'll get to that in a little bit. No, seriously. How you doing, Brandon? Is everything good on your end over there?
Oh, I just have a migraine from watching these TikTok videos about that particular
song. Oh yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Making the brain hurt.
Yeah, everything's good. We had a productive weekend. We did some stuff and that was fun. That was really fun.
Yeah, made a little trip out to Wineberry, guys. It was a good little trip. We had a good time. We recovered some data that we'll be able to share with you guys at some point soon. Found a couple tracks that were pretty interesting. Plus it's always good just catching up with Beth.
Yeah. Found a few things that were interesting, I'd say. But we'll definitely bring that up at some point. And Brandon didn't do anything.
Brandon, how's everything coming with some of your projects over there? I know you got a good bit going on the plate.
Some of it's almost done. The first thing should come out in March.
Oh, right good on. Deal. Good deal. Well, that's awesome. Let's see. Where is our scroller at? Does anyone have it? There it is. Joe, why don't you make sure that everybody understands how the show is,
well, guys, this show is kept 100% free for you guys by the likes of Adam Good, Teresa Haunted History of the Tri-State, Dewey Edwards, Spooky Appalachia, Larry Hose, Guitar Chains Craig, Travis Arednick, Jeffrey Steele, Russ Bailey, Chris Coots, Ada Cox, Nancy White, Scott Holbrook, Bigfoot, Littlefoot, Tommy Swigger. Then last, like coming up, you know, this list gets longer and longer and longer. We've got Terry Summerfield, Sarah Ramsey, Julie Bug, Finding the Trackway, L.W. Marshall, Donahoe, and Angie Breeden. You guys are what keep it free for eons and eons to come, and we appreciate you.
Massive, massive thank you. Anyone else who's listening, please do take the time to head over there and view us on the old YouTube channel, because we do have a lot more stuff that's going on over there. Like, share, and subscribe that out. Send it out to your friends. Some people will be very appreciative of it. I think we've called quite a few things over there in the past recent few months. Wouldn't you say, boys?
Just a few.
Yeah, I wasn't joking when I said, you know, the folks who have been watching the podcast won't be they won't be surprised when all this drops, because things are kind of getting weird out there, and they're going to get weirder in 2024 apparently.
Well, it seems like things are ramping up. We're getting more weird rumblings coming from different groups of people, and some that were slightly unexpected.
Yep.
And some that we can't talk about, and some that we can.
We can't talk about Roswell.
Yeah, can't talk about Roswell. Still can't talk about Roswell. But you know, we're looking at this stuff that's coming out, and some of it is pretty remarkable.
Mm-hmm. I have to agree with that. Well, you guys ready to head over to the news desk where we can discuss some of this stuff a little bit more further? Mm-hmm. Where to start?
Man,
where to start. It is 2024. It is January. And in the first week, all crap broke loose.
Yeah, and not in a good way.
No.
Like, this is probably one of the most painful news weeks we've had in a very long time. This is worse than the Colorado train Bigfoot.
I got to say this, though. It does kind of prove that whole, ontological shock theory. I mean, let's be real.
Ontological shock or ontological lemmings.
That's what I'm saying, though. I mean, it's like, can you imagine if this was a real event?
Yeah. If this was a real event.
Yeah.
At one point in our life, this might be showing my age a little bit, but you had your teacher roll out the AV cart and broke out this big metal disc, a laser disc, and fed it into the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And you watched this video of a whole herd of lemmings just running off a cliff to their demise. That is the modern representation of social media this week.
You know what? I just thought when you said that. It is. And you know what? I remember Luis Elizondo when they asked him, when people find out, what do you think they're going to think? He said, I think there'll be this big sigh. And then and it'll be very sombering. And I'm like, somber. That's how I feel about this right now.
Because yeah, my big sigh isn't like a sigh of relief.
It's no. It's like, oh, God.
Because really? We don't normally like come into a topic guns blazing, right? But this one, Miami.
We have to go. We have to do it. So
we have to. So let's read off. Do one of you guys have it pulled up yet?
Let me grab it real quick. I had it until I accidentally shut everything down.
I did too, and I closed my stinking window and lost it.
Well, it's probably aliens did that. So the first notice of it that I had seen, I sent it over to you guys, and I didn't know it. I think it was Dawn. Dawn is the one who actually sent it to me, and she said, "Have you seen this yet?" And I said, "No, but let me look into it a little bit." And about that time, Christina, she had sent it over too. And when Christina tells you that she thinks it's sketchy, it's probably sketchy. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, so we've spent the first couple of minutes just going back and forth with info on this. And I'm like, well, this is unbelievable because people are actually believing this, so I grabbed everything from that very first, day, and I put it up there in the, on the group, and I tried to do it in chronological order so you could see what was going on. Yeah. And I think I documented the downfall of humanity very well.
Right.
Yeah.
And then there was, there's also information that I was able to gather from relatives that lived.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And
well, wait, hold on to that, because I want you to talk about that. Okay. When it comes up. OK, so first, for those who don't know, and I don't know how you don't know
how you wouldn't know at this point.
Apparently you are an alien if you don't know this.
It's either you live under a rock or you solely listen to Wild and Weird Radio for your news.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So there was a situation in Miami at the Miami Mall. Hundreds of police cars.
Bayside Mall.
Yeah, Bayside Mall. Sorry. Hundreds of police cars are there, right? I mean, we see that. That's a fact. It's on video. It's documented. Mm-hmm. And
you had the Dade County Sheriff's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You had the Miami PD. You had surrounding counties sheriffs and surrounding city PD.
Yes. Absolutely.
All in force.
Absolutely.
In civilian attire as well as on duty attire.
Yep.
Which so what means happens? This was a.
Sorry.
What's that mean? If you've got civilian and on duty, what's that tell you? It means that there has been a very, very, very emergent call. When this is called in, it is reported as based off what I've been able to gather and understand, it was a domestic terrorist or some kind of hostile shooter sort of scenario. That is what calls in Florida for this kind of response. Florida has had issues in the past with mass shooters. I mean, this is how I would want my police station to respond in this kind of situation.
Well, there was a bomb threat there last New Year's.
There had been. That's right.
And, the whole thing goes nuts because apparently there's this guy makes a post to TikTok. I can't remember his name. I had it. It's in the thread there somewhere. And he says, he was in the mall. There was some people who, they threw firecrackers, fireworks or whatever. And that's what people thought was gunfire, they were running, which that part's true. That happened. The other part that he says didn't happen. And that's where he says he looks behind him, and he sees they're running from these giant, aliens, creatures, extra dimensional beings that are there, yet they're not there. They look like holographic projections to some people, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, anyway, a guy on Twitter, X, whatever, in a UFO group, he decides he's going to use that part of his story. And well, when he does that, and he says, this eyewitness says that there's aliens, 10-foot tall aliens there. It just hits the fan at that point. I mean, it's all over the place. Now there's military involvement. There's police who were taking people's phones. They were somehow, I guess, erasing people's phones from some remote way that no one knows. There's another video that shows up later of this, this giant thing walking, which is literally just a bunch of cops who are walking side by side, people walking side by side. And the angle makes it look like, there's something else there. And it was also
the angle with some digital artifacts.
It was digitally artifact. Yeah. It was digital effects as well. And it just kept going, man. It just became crazier. The airport was shut down. The power was shut off. None of those things happened. According to the people who were there, none of those things happened. And the more the people who were there speak up and say this didn't happen, the more the others are now saying, well, you've been paid off.
Paid off. This is being silenced.
Yep. Same thing they're going to say about us.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what they're going to say. And, let's face it, guys, we have never been in it for the clicks.
No.
Ever.
I don't really care. This is about the truth. And the truth is, this is mass hysteria. And it was a mass hysteria via social media. You don't need mind control when you got people doing this for you.
If there somebody would pay me to say stuff, because then I could pay my bills easier.
Right. Well, here's the thing. If there really is a secret, plan to do this, right? The false flag operation, blue, whatever, here's the thing. Those guys need to hire this guy because he pulled off more than they could do with billions of dollars worth of assets with a simple free app.
And by what I understand, he doesn't even live in Miami.
He doesn't live in Miami. He came out about a day later, made a post and said, he was trolling everybody. He did it for the clicks. Thank you, everyone. You did that for him. And then, of course, they silenced him because the original video disappeared. First of all, I heard the video disappeared a couple of days ago. I still found the video. It had not disappeared. Today I went and I could not find it. So he's probably taken it down because from what I understand, there's a reason you make those apologetic kind of videos. I don't think he liked the publicity he got. Probably that would be not. My guess. Yeah, that'd be my guess.
We here at Wild and Weird Radio are we're open to all of these ideas. We're open to all these types of conspiracies. But when they come out, you have to present the data. I don't care about how it feels. I don't care about what is thought. The data is what we need to see. And for example, we've covered on multiple shows in the past. So to anybody who, might be listening to us that they enjoy conspiracy theory podcast stuff, we've covered it and we've shown the CIA documents that come out after 75 years that say, okay, we did all this stuff and conspiracy theory wound up being an actual factual government operation.
Yeah, that actually happened.
And we've had multiple episodes, in fact, on that. And we've actually entertained some other popular conspiracy theories pertaining to the JFK assassination and all those kinds of things. But there has to be the thread of data that you can actually follow.
Absolutely.
If there's no thread of data that actually links this credibly to a invasion or a real 10-foot alien invading a Miami mall, then you have to understand that we're not going to stand behind that type of a claim. And we're not going to just set in the vein where it's popular and we're going to use it for clicks for the show. We're going to beat the squatch out of it because that's why we're here. Mm-hmm. We're here to give you the data, to give you the real information, and let everybody else make up their minds from that point. We're not going to tell you what to think, except on this one, we think this one's all blown out of proportion.
Well, you can think whatever you want, but we think that it's blown out of proportion. And, you know, if it fits, you know, your belief system, that's okay. That's fine. But we can't allow me and Joe and Brandon, we can't allow anything that we may believe to influence what is basically an overwhelming amount of data to the contrary. And there is an overwhelming amount of data to the contrary that says that this was blown way out of proportion. Again, no power outages. There was no, the airport wasn't shut down. Miami-Dade actually came on and they made a post on the actual police website that pretty much said, you know, what happened. And this public record, you can go down and you can check the public record if you like. I even asked a guy to do this and he basically just came back with, well, you know, one of those, well, you know, they're doing these things. I didn't say they weren't doing these things. I'm just saying that they didn't do this thing. And there wasn't 8 foot tall or 10 foot tall aliens walking around outside that building that night. Mm-mm. So
if you there know. Were, we would all know it because there would be instant live transmission of video amass, hundreds and hundreds. Cause this you're not talking about like a little podunk mall. You're talking about the Bayside Mall. This is one of the largest malls in the region down there. I used to live down that way. So, you know, I'm familiar with the malls and this mall is huge. Okay. And there's tons of people.
Hey,
there. It would have been live streamed to Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, X, you name it. There'd probably been people who streamed it to StreamYard and pushed it out on all of them.
Well, yeah.
I mean, if we were there, that's what would have.
Oh, we would have totally went live. There's no question. Aliens are here. We're live right here. No, that would have happened. And no one did that.
Nope.
They didn't do it because it didn't happen. And now if you see it, of course, they've had several days now to go and make those videos, guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen so many of them pop up on TikTok right now. It's just embarrassing to watch these people. It is absolutely embarrassing to watch these
people. It's gotten to the point where I haven't even been looking for news since the 5th. Like I can't stand to even look at those news sites right now. They drive me.
I just scroll by.
It's like the week when that giant door crap came out.
Oh gosh. I forgot about the giant door.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hopefully this will take away some of that. But
well, remember that guy? He kept taking the video down, putting it back up just to get people to look at it more. Like, oh, the government's trying to silence.
Okay. Me. Okay. And that just happened recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a recent thing that just happened, guys. You think that this guy didn't see that and say, hey, here's a great way. I'm going to get 1 billion clicks overnight. We know it works. I mean, we saw the guy in Las Vegas Las Vegas, right? Vegas. The Vegas incident. And he was monetized literally overnight, guys. You know how hard that is to do. But he did it.
I'm just waiting for somebody to drive through West Virginia through one of those cutouts they did on Quarter G and be like, this is a pyramid. Look. It's shaped like a pyramid.
Yeah, with the steps from the blasting. Yep, give it time. Give it time.
Well, either way, like, you know, you guys have had it several days now. There should be some really, really good, really good CG aliens out there walking around on these videos. And what I've seen so far is just an embarrassment. You can do better.
Well, they're doing CG aliens, Ron, you made a very good informative post.
Which one, bud?
The one where you put all of the CG aliens into a lineup.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
And we'll insert that here. So that way you guys can see this. Ron put all these aliens together in a lineup showing the commonly used forms for the gray aliens.
Uh-huh.
And some of those were the ones that have been used to represent this 10-foot tall Miami alien. I mean, really, what it boils down to is Florida man.
I think so, too.
I think it just it's Florida man and some rowdy teenagers.
Well, I got, you know, I mean, more than rowdy teenagers. I mean, like you said, they thought this was a terrorist.
Yeah, incident, right? There were fireworks involved.
Yeah, there were. And, you know, there's been some shootings in the country. Let's be real here. We're not going to hide from that. And do you not honestly think that law enforcement close to the New Year's is going to be on high alert? They're going to be on high alert. Yeah. They're on high alert. And
especially in Florida, they do not play. It's Florida and Texas. Do not play with that kind of stuff.
Well, like I said, apparently this has happened before. And one of the posts over there on the thing I had thrown up there was from the actual officer allegedly who did this. And he was basically saying, you know, I want as many units as possible over here. We're going to shut this down. I'm done. We're going to shut this down at 21, 23, 12. And that was the call. Well, and that's,
you gotta remember too, the whole mall was in a huge panic because these kids were going throughout the mall fighting each other. And supposedly some were wielding sticks and weapons like that.
Okay, and someone said, well, where's the video? Well, the video was there.
There's plenty of videos.
There's plenty of video. Of them,
yeah.
And you can see them running down the streets. Not a single 10-foot alien.
There was a bunch of them arrested like six or seven blocks away. No, not aliens.
Oh, okay. Because I saw ships, too. They're ships now. You guys know this, right? The ships now. Yeah, they're ships now.
Oh, that's right. The Florida ships that came in that were basically landing lights from an aircraft. It's like
Gulf Breeze thing all over again.
No, Gulf Breeze had a little bit more truth to it, I think.
Yeah, I do too. Gulf Breeze had something.
It did a little bit, but man, that guy who reported the whole thing was bonkers.
I don't know.
An episode about him.
Was he though? I think you're right. We will have to do an episode because there was a little more to that. I think they made him look really bad. On purpose.
Oh, my favorite part was when he was given his initial interview. He said, yeah, I ran outside in my whitey tidies. I looked up and I said, what is that?
I mean, that's you.
How about you, Joe?
If I'm the guy that is the witness of that, I'm going to be
Joe
candid and say, I ran outside. I was in my underwear barefoot on the
pavement. If he was, he might have jumped out of the shower. I mean, I can hear that conversation too out there.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it would be totally uncensored just because it's Joe's mouth. And
I would not be surprised.
None of us would be surprised.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Everybody like, yeah, that tracks.
And be like, oh, that's accurate. He's not lying.
Oh, Joe's outside naked again.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, guys, like, I'm the one thing I'm going to say is all of the people who are out there in the community who claim to be valid, real members of the research community, that are supporting this and propping it up, shame on you.
Mm-hmm.
Shame on you for trying to push it for clicks. Everybody else, we understand you're probably in it for entertainment. That's cool. Yeah, we get it. That's your shtick, entertainment, fun, whatever. But if you're a legitimate or claim to have been at any point in your career at putting out this kind of content and you claim to be an honest, true report style, investigator, researcher, analyst, whatever you want to call it, and you are propping this whole Miami garbage up, shame on you. And Sasquatch is very disappointed in you.
Sasquatch, yeah, very disappointed. Sasquatch. You don't want to disappoint Sasquatch. Oh, I don't even want to know what Sky Daddy thinks.
Oh, Sky Daddy.
He's crying.
Yep. Mm-hmm. This made Sky Daddy cry.
I'm going to have to make one.
Remember that Stevie Ray Vaughan song, yeah. Sky's Crying.
Yeah, it's going to be. We'll have
All right. I think we've beat the squatch out of that one.
You know what?
Songs.
Is there anything else anybody needs to add to the Miami mess?
No, I don't. I'm done with Miami. You know, like I told you guys, I think Jimmy said it best. Everybody's got a cousin in Miami. Well, apparently that cousin's from outer space now. I don't know.
Right. Before we finish with that story, I just want to bring up, if you guys have never listened to Third Rock from the Sun by Joe Diffie, that pretty much sums up the whole situation.
It really does.
It does.
It really does.
Diffie saw it all, said a giant alien landed at the mall.
A giant alien. Joe Diffie was a time traveler.
It started started, if you remember the lyrics of the song, it started when a bunch of drunk teenagers hit a pole and blow the transformer.
That's right.
Before it gets worse.
They knock the power out.
Yep.
Yeah.
See? I mean, it's all right there. It's all been foretold.
Joe Diffie is the new Simpsons.
I think so. That's what that whole story is about.
Snowball. Yes. Yeah, it's great. It's absolutely great. So, in other news, I would like to jog your memories today. Today is it is January 9th and 2024. And 10 years ago to this day, West Virginia had the worst water catastrophe pretty much in history. I mean, it's been that long. When a crap ton of a noxious material used to clean mine equipment was dumped into the river, literally right down the road from where I live, like literally right down the road. The smell was insane. It was crazy. National Guard had to come in, bring everybody water. Everybody was very appreciative of that. Neighbors helping neighbors, and not one single alien, not one single UFO, not one single conspiracy theory. Everybody thanked the United States government for coming in here and bringing us water. It wasn't poisoned water. This tells you, I was looking at this today.
It was poisoned water. That's why you don't believe it was a 10-foot alien, Ron.
Is that what it is? It was poisoned water.
I didn't drink the water, though. I wasn't down that way. I was on the water
supply. Conspiracies, though, about Freedom Industries, about the stuff that they claim they did, the theories that they did it on purpose.
Here's my thing about that. Greed. There was greed, lots of greed, lots of I'm going to dodge that lawsuit any way I can. Payoffs that were made. It's a big deal. I mean, it was a really big story. But what I'm getting at is people, you can see the paranoia, how it's grown in just 10 years. And it's kind of frightening.
Yeah.
It's not like every little like event happening right now. Nowadays. Has
That's what I'm saying, Joe. Joe, what you just said.
If something like that happened right now, like it would be pandemonium.
Oh God.
It's all over TikTok instantly, first of all. And it's by people who aren't even from West Virginia, second of all. And they're influencing people and they're adding to it. I mean, there would be Godzilla would be in the river before long. That's how it would be.
I used to imagine. And
we already had Godzilla in the river because we got Dow Chemical right up the road.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure about real provable conspiracy theory is what Dow used to do to the people that lived in that area back in the day.
They
would purposely feed them and not give a single crap about it.
Dow Chemical, Monsanto, all that.
Yep. All that stuff. It's true. I mean,
Parkersburg itself has one of the highest cancer rates per capita out of any city in America.
Yeah, it's true. It's absolutely true. And, that's a fact. And it comes down to greed and we're going to cover our tail any way we can. And if we can buy you out, we're going to. But my whole point of that was, like you said, Joe, if that happened today, can you imagine?
Unreal.
I mean, we had forest fires last year, for God's sake, and they were caused by space lasers. If that tells you anything, what is happening to people?
Oh, remember the volcanoes going off in Hawaii, burning down houses, and there was a million conspiracies about that.
Yeah, dude, space lasers. We've been over this. Space lasers. It's all space lasers and holograms. So anyway.
So last thing, unless somebody else has got something in the news.
No.
Last thing we want to hit before we dive any deeper on the news. What do you think of Corbell's new video?
Oh, boy. Yeah, let's hit that real quick.
Because that's fresh. I just dropped today.
Yeah, let's hit that. We'll talk about that a bit, I'm sure, from now on, because I think that's going to make some waves. I think this is the new TikTok video where everybody's going to be like, okay, well, it's bull crap or it's real. You know, it's one of those kind of deals. It's not going with those where you're going to be like, it could be real or it may not be real. I think that it's probably, unless we see that other part of the video where that thing takes off, and like he says, at a 45 degree angle, out of the ocean after being under the water for 17 minutes or whatever it was.
Which we have seen thermal images of UAP doing that.
We have. And I'm going to say that right there. Now, if it really was visible on thermal, but not with night vision, that says something to me.
Yeah.
That says a lot to me. And one guy was over there on Twitter talking about that. And he said, well, you guys need to understand that he didn't say it was invisible. It doesn't mean it was invisible. It was only visible with the thermal signature. But anything that's given off a thermal signature is visible. I respectfully decline to agree with that, sir. No, yeah. That's not entirely true. There are things out there that are moving around that can only be seen on thermal. That is a fact, and it can be demonstrated.
And the CIA, the Air Force, and the Navy have released documents stating such.
Yeah. I mean, just watch the videos you guys have got with your own thermal. I mean, there's go on our YouTube channel if you have.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I think that there's a lot going to be a lot comes out of this. Right now, I'm with it's just some form of crazy tech right now. If not, we're in trouble. How about that? That's going to work out really good because I think we just saw the ultimate, I don't even know. So kind of it was either a recon kind of thing, or that was some kind of armor. I mean, even Corbell said something about it. It looked like it had scales, like it was armored of some sort.
It was really weird looking. Like to me, I'm going to do a real bad version of it, but it looks like it's got legs.
It does. It looks like.
I picture that they unfold.
Dude, it's an Imperial probe droid is what it is.
Yeah, it looked like a probe droid from.
Yeah, it looks like it's supposed to grab stuff.
Yeah, it did. It looked like. So I'm thinking that somebody was probably messing with some kind of new tech. The weird part is that it wasn't ours and it wasn't a multinational coalition's because that's who observed this thing. Yeah. And they pretended they didn't know what it was, right? So is somebody lying on that front? Are they just messing with people? I don't know. But it's now really
maybe the aliens have a training class and they're giving them the real low tech to play with.
Maybe.
The one thing that I have to say about this after watching it a dozen or so times is that it doesn't behave the way a typical thermal video behaves. Like the subject does not behave as a typical thermal object. There's these moments where it almost becomes translucent even on the therm, which doesn't happen. That's not how that works. It's either a heat signature that's there or it's not. That's my only qualm with it. Other than that, it's really weird.
It is really weird. And I think we're going to need a lot more data on that. If he's going to drop that, he's going to have to back it up with a little bit more data, I think. Because it's just...
Well, apparently it's part of a documentary.
It is. Yeah, it's part of that. Yeah, that's what it was. That's the part of the new four-part documentary
that they did. If he didn't make such good documentaries, I'd really hate that guy. But his documentaries are so good.
he's doing the work. That's all I can say about that. He does a good job. Gotta give him credit where credit's due on that part, you know. Somebody's giving him some stuff.
He's like the Joe Rogan of UFOs.
Oh, really? Speaking of Joe Rogan, this is what I was reading a few minutes ago. The Daily Mirror posted an article once, an interview with Corbell. Apparently, Grush was supposed to be with them on Joe Rogan, but he didn't go because he says lately he has been feeling threats against his safety, but he didn't go any further into that.
He did go further into that. Yeah, there'll be more on that soon, too. We want to make sure it's all legit. It's been posted over on Twitter. Joe actually has a little bit of that. I sent it to him earlier. Yeah. And I'll have him send it out to you. I don't want to talk about that right now because unconfirmed as far as sources and whatnot goes. But it does look like that there's some talk about that. And we know that Congress gets its briefing, I believe, tomorrow. So by the time you guys hear this, either nothing will happen or you're going to be dodging aliens.
So me, I hate that for Grush because I couldn't comprehend how much stress that would put on somebody. But on another side, I love the fact that they're stirring the pot so much that they're, you know, getting the beehive active. They're starting to scare the bees.
You need to ask yourself
all the honey.
Got to watch that though. You scare the bees. Sometimes what happens, Joe?
Beekeeper comes out.
Then what happens? Yeah, there you go. Exactly. So who knows? I mean, I don't know what's going to happen out there, but, yeah, you know, if it does happen, just get your phone, make sure you have it on, okay, and get good video.
All right.
Then send it to us.
Well, does that wrap us up on the news, guys?
I think so. What do you think, Brandon? You good?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're good. I'm going to call it right here. Well, for you folks who are still with us and didn't get aggravated and run away because we said something you didn't like, because that's the nature of discourse. Sometimes you don't have to agree with.
That happens.
Yep. You don't have to agree with everybody just especially to listen to what they say.
This topic right now is very volatile, the whole thing.
Extremely volatile. It's extremely volatile. Well, you know, I mean, you're insulting people. Really, you are. You're insulting their intelligence and you're telling them they didn't, you know, you were there. These people were there, dude. And now it's like, well, it doesn't matter if you were there or not, because this guy who wasn't there said he was, and he saw aliens when you said you didn't. So I don't know. But yeah. So tonight's little topic, we're gonna talk a little bit about UAPs, UFOs. Surprise. But we're not gonna talk about them in the sense of what has been going on. We're gonna talk about them in what has happened before the so-called modern age.
Well, hop in the Wayback Machine.
Hop in there and dial it up and see where we land.
Well, we're going to go all the way back to the 1400s.
That's the pretty far back.
To be exact.
I mean, we could go back further, but I figure 1400's good.
Yeah, this is only an hour-long show. Yeah, exactly. hour and a half. So we had to cut off a time period at some point.
Yeah.
Well, in 1480 BC, the Thule Papyrus was discovered. It's said to be the oldest text of record of a UFO sighting, dated back to the 1480 BC. It recounts a sighting of fleets of fiery shields. The event occurred under the reign of Thutmose III. The claim originated in 1953 in an article published Doubt, the Fortean Society magazine. The papyrus has two separate translations. Even though the papyrus was severely damaged and contained several gaps and determined Prince Boris de Auschwitz managed to translate it. He declared that the papyrus was part of an annals of Thutmose III.
Yeah, so basically what you got, you've got a scribe, right? And the scribe is writing down what was seen in the sky. And both translations are pretty close, I think. I mean, they're close enough to tell the same story. And you see it down there, Joe? It should be in quotes.
Yeah. You want me to read off the story? Yeah,
go ahead and read just the quote part right there. Yeah. In the year 22.
In the year 22, third month of winter, sixth hour of the day. The scribes of the House of Life found it was a circle of fire that was coming in the sky. It had no head. The breadth of its mouth had a foul odor. Sound familiar? Its body, one rod long, that equals 150 feet in American, and one rod large, also 150 feet. This, to me, kind of sounds like a disc or square, or, as was stated, a shield. Mm-hmm. It had no voice. Hearts become confused through it, and they laid themselves on the bellies and they went to the king to report it. His majesty ordered has been examined as to all which is written on the papyrus scrolls of the House of Life. His majesty was meditating upon what had happened. Now, after some days had passed over these things, they were numerous or more numerous than anything. They were shining in the sky more than the sun to the limits of the four supports of heaven. That's also terms for the four corners. Powerful was the position of the fire circles. The army of the king looked on, and his majesty was in the midst of it. It was after supper thereupon that they went upon the higher directed to the south. Fishes and fishes and volatiles fell down from the sky.
So does that
it
mean
was a like, marvel never occurred since the foundation of this land, caused his majesty to be brought incense to pacify the earth. What had happened in the book of the House of Life to be remembered for eternity?
Yeah, but we didn't remember fraternity. And some people claim it's not even real, that it was a hoax that was just derived and sold out to anyone who would believe in the whole ancient, contact type theory. But what we see here is we see references to fiery shields and skyfalls. There are skyfalls mentioned in here.
Mm-hmm. Almost sounds like, some of the old, which is not old, but like in the 80s, a lot of the theory was that these UFOs were coming here for the water.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
You know, it almost, mm-hmm. you said there was fishes and volatiles falling.
Volatiles, yeah.
You know, that this thing had scooped up a mass of water and they're seeing, you know, what mm-hmm. go into whatever chamber fall back through a gravity field.
Yeah.
I can see where somebody could interpret it that way.
Mm-hmm. So it has its proponents. It has the people who don't believe it as well. And one of the people who don't believe it is Jacques Vallée, by the way. He said that it was a complete fabrication. Just, FYI. Was it real? I don't know. But if it was real, then it remains one of those first written in history.
You know, that reminds me of the UFO flap in Michigan back in the 90s, because people said they saw those UFOs sucking up huge amounts of water off Lake Michigan.
What?
Hey, you don't remember?
Oh, that's right. They did. You're right.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, Maury Island was over, a body of water as well. But it was expelling stuff, allegedly. But yeah, you're right about that. Lake Titicaca, they say that there's been crafts that have gone into it and come back out. Yep. There's that water connection there. So, hey, who knows, right? That seems to be the thing. They like water. They're more USO than UFO.
The theory that there's multiple different races involved, because it seems like they're all doing different stuff. They have like different missions they're going. Like some of them live in the mm-hmm. water. Some of them are getting the water.
I think their mission is, their prime mission, though, is to mess with the humans.
I figured it was to go shopping at the mall.
But don't go. Oh, yeah. Wah, 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 wah.
You say Bed Bath & Beyond going out of business? Oh, my God.
So we've got Jacques Vallée, who kind of has a distaste for this event and the deciphering of the papyrus, mm-hmm. said it was a fabrication. And you got to look at it, when it was interpreted. You're looking at the 1950s. Article, you've
the first you've 40 got some and stuff. Of these
English words sewn in here, looking specifically at the breadth of its mouth had a foul odor. That's prior to that, there had been those sulfurous gases emitted from UFOs previously. Do you think mm-hmm. that might have fed some of this to be like if it was a fabrication?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It kind of fits into that frame, doesn't it? Because
it does.
Skyfalls were big back then. And, if you look at the top of that part where you're reading there, Joe, you're talking about the foul odor. Doesn't that sound kind of like the sky creature stuff that we were?
It does.
I mean, it's almost exact, right? And a lot of those were from, from Fortean research as well. So
reminds me of Braxy, too.
That's one of the things I thought about also with Braxy.
Mm-hmm. So it puts us in the 19
years prior.
Yeah, mm-hmm. puts us in like the 1950s, right? I mean, and it's right in that. It's right in that golden age of when this was started, and it would be right before Eric von Däniken would grab it, put it in Chariots of the Gods, where it would become pretty much immortalized at that point.
See, that's the problem when you have generational things like that, because you got one big event that happens, and then you got all these hoaxes that come along with it, but you also get people who have had their own experiences and now feel safe to talk about similar things that happened to them.
Right.
And it's kind of hard to weed through the crap sometimes.
Absolutely. Could not agree more. So somewhere in there, there's probably a little bit of truth. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
Some type of truth. Because it also says that they came back, and they came back in greater numbers. You caught that too, right?
They were like hung out for days.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, stranger things have happened. So
that is true. And one of those strange things, fast forwarding the clock to 312 AD, mm-hmm. according to the Constantine biographer Eusebius, what was the cross that Constantine saw?
Yeah, right.
you know, Constantine, the reason that Christianity and Catholicism
spread,
and then Protestantism and whatnot, they have the moniker of the cross on all their garb, is because of this vision that Constantine had on the battlefield of a cross in the sky that signified that they were going to win the battle. And there's a lot of debate around this entire thing. And personally, I'm on the fence with this one, with my past even. And it's one of those things where I'm like,
yeah,
you look at it through the subtext of history. There's a whole lot of reasons why he would have seen a cross in a vision in the sky. You know, he needed a certain number of people to fight for him. Otherwise, that war was going to be lost. Mm-hmm. But according to Eusebius or Eusebius,
is Eusebius, I believe. Yes.
Eusebius.
Yeah.
Two accounts of the battle survive to this day. First, the shorter one, the Ecclesiastical History, promotes the belief that the Christian God helped Constantine, but does not mention any vision. In his later life, the life of Constantine, Eusebius gives a detailed account of a vision and stresses that he had heard the story from the emperor himself. According to this version, Constantine with his army was marching, and he did not specify the actual location of the event, but it's clearly not in the camp at Rome. This was actually on a plateau overseeing a battle site. But when he looked up into the sun, he saw a cross of light. And when in the Greek words, which is in tutuia nica, usually translated in Latin, in hoc signo vincius, the literal meaning of the phrase in Greek is, in this sign, conquer. Okay. While this is in Latin, in the term, it says, this, in this sign, you shall conquer. So the Greek and the Latin are a little different, because that's where the insignia becomes being used. You know, you put the cross on the shields. That's where, in this sign, you shall conquer.
Or through this sign.
Or through this sign. Yes. Mm-hmm. At first, he was unsure of the meaning of the apparition, but in the following night, he had a dream in which Christ explained to him that he should use the sign against his enemies.
And there it was.
Which is like one of the most un-Jesus-y things I think I could imagine.
Right.
Use this thing that I died upon to as a symbol to smite your enemies.
I mean,
he's a barren image.
Yeah.
Like, you know, historically, we understand where all this stuff fell and everything, but it's just still, like, he needed Christians to fight for him. And this is why I don't believe that this actually happened.
Right.
He needed these Christians to join his army to fight because he was so outnumbered, bitterly outnumbered, to the point where he was going to be absolutely decimated had they not fought with him and alongside of him. So this vision was 100% necessary. Constantine himself, it's very questionable of what his religious beliefs were. He has a lot of ties to, I can't remember the exact name in English, but basically it's the cult of the sun. And he had a lot of ties to that even during this time frame. And he needed the Christian to this new group of Christians to join him and fight alongside his army. Otherwise he would just get destroyed. So what better way to do it other than say, I saw the image of your savior calling to me, saying that we would win the battle and we will put this mark on our shields and we will move forward. And I am one of you, that whole kind of thing. It's a big,
play.
But that's cool. I don't think that's one of the ones in the past that I look at and I'm like, just because I know the historical context behind the
war. Well, you know, too, the Romans were notorious for just making up stuff to make themselves seem greater and more powerful and whatnot. I mean, Julius Caesar himself exaggerated so much in his own biographies.
But let's look at this through a different lens. We've looked at the historical context of it, but I want to look at this too from a, you know, being objective with this whole story. What if he did see a cigar-shaped UFO that in the light glistened and had those double bars stuck off the side that made it resemble the effigy of the cross?
Better yet, what if he did have a non-human intelligence contact him in his sleep, which is what, you know, they allegedly do? in some cases. And what if that non-human intelligence did take on a persona that he recognized? I mean, I'm just saying, what if? I'm not saying it happened, but I'm saying, you know, in light of what we know, you know, about some of the stuff that's going on, boy, that opens a can of worms, buddy.
He could have also seen like a certain cloud formation, and when it happened to move in front of the sun, it made a cross shape through the clouds. Because I've seen that before.
Could have.
Yeah, that one's just. There's a lot of ifs and buts, and you know.
Yeah.
It's 312 AD, forever ago. Yeah, it's a long time.
But it made a big impact.
It did. It had a major impact. It changed the course of the world.
That's right.
It changed not the course of the world at large, but like the course of Europe,
it really did.
Which then kind of affected the course.
It really
of the world
did change the course. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you remember the colonization.
It changed the course of the world. Yeah.
So we're going to time machine as many years forward as we just jumped from 1312 and jump all the way up to 1561 to the celestial phenomenon over Nuremberg.
Wrong now, we all know the Nuremberg one. This is famous. I think we've all seen it, the woodcut of this. And that woodcut is, it's a broadsheet, what it is, which is, it's like a news article. I mean, can you imagine? We should make a woodcut of the show. I wonder what that would look like.
Right.
So, but really the text of it was, in the morning of April 14th, 1561, at daybreak between 4 and 5 AM, a dreadful apparition occurred on the sun. And then this was seen in Nuremberg in the city before the gates and in the country. By many men and women. At first, these appeared in the middle of the sun, two blood-red semicircular arcs, just like the moon in its last quarter. And in the sun, above and below on the sides, the color stood on both sides. There were torus. There were all these shapes. I'm going to put the whole link up because it's extremely long, and we don't have that time. But they saw these apparitions in the skies. And what it basically comes down to is these things were fighting each other. And there was, as it says, and the conflict in and again out of the sun and was most intense. They became fatigued to such an extent that they all said above fell from the sun down upon the earth as if they all burned and then wasted away on the earth with immense smoke. And that's in the woodcut. You can see the smoke in the distance, like, which is basically, you know, someone trying to illustrate this thing that happened. But
it makes me wonder if anyone has gone out in the woods beyond Nuremberg and investigated to see if they can find any sort of wreckage evidence or anything.
But they were described as black spheres, orbs, arcs. And although we have seen shortly one after another many kinds of signs of the heavens, which are sent to us by the Almighty God to bring us to repentance, we will still, well, of course, I mean, you know, still are unfortunately so ungrateful that we despise such a sign and miracles of God. Or we speak of them with ridicule and discard them to the wind.
But you got to remember, too, during this time period of history, between the 1200s and the 1700s, there were several horrible plagues that were ravaging Europe. And they would take turns. Sometimes they would even do it at the same time. So everybody was like, why have we made God so angry? So people became very pious during this time period.
Yeah.
And everything was associated with God and God's vengeance.
Oh, yeah. The whole last part of this is just God, God, God. And again, I'm just not going to read it, not because it has God, God, God. I'm not going to read it because it's so long. And
ultimately, what that last half of the paragraph is basically a paragraph describing the need for their repentance.
Yeah, the need for their repentance. They looked at it. Some of them looked at this as a great sign, you know, that they needed to repent. And I mean, you could see that. I mean, it's a War of the Worlds type kind of situation that they're seeing.
And they these things it really similar to how the Vimana were described in India.
They really did. And the battle itself, in other words. So, you know, you've got those same kind of things, these warring factions and humans caught in the middle, watching the whole thing.
Could you imagine if this happened over a large city nowadays?
You mean like Miami?
That's it, Brandon. I think I'm going to have to, I'll have to do the woodcut of that.
Well, we kind of did, kind of, sort of. Wouldn't you say the Battle of L.A.?
L.A.
Depending on if the Battle of L.A. was actually a thing.
If that's what it was. If they
were shooting at a UFO.
Right.
That one picture is pretty convincing.
Yeah.
But so, jump up into March 1st, 1639. This is a lesser known story, but it's one of my absolute favorites.
This is a puritanical story. It comes from John Winthrop, and he opened his diary in which he recorded the trials and triumphs of his fellow Puritans as they made their new life in America. As the governor of Massachusetts Bay Colony put pen to paper, he began to recount a most unusual event that had recently occurred and stirred the English immigrants. You know, Constantine's whole cross thing and the impact on the world, that kind of plays into base here.
Yes, it does. It really does. Winthrop
wrote earlier in the year that James Everill, a sober, discreet man, because even back then, the qualifiers were important, and two others had been in a rowboat on a muddy river, which flowed through the swampland and emptied into the tidal basin of the Charles River. When they saw a great light in the sky, when it stood still, it flamed up and was about 3 yards square. The governor reported, when it ran, it was contracted into its figure of a swine. So a tic-tac. Because you got to think, a healthy pig's an oval, right? Mm-hmm. Now, over the course of 2 to 3 hours, the boatman said that the mysterious light ran as a swift arrow, darting back and forth between them and the village of Charlestown, a distance of approximately 2 miles. It diverse and credible persons saw the same light after about the same place, Winthrop added. The governor went on to write more about this topic as if the light had transported them up to a mile upstream. The boatmen were stunned by this fact, and the men had no memory of their rowing against the tide. Now, when, you know, I don't know anybody, I've lived on a coastal area and I used to go kayaking quite a bit. When you would start rowing up river from a bay or an ocean, it's already difficult enough rowing up river in a river.
You're not going to do it and not remember what you're saying.
But on a tidal river,
it's not happening. I've been to a tidal river. Different
animal, yeah. Especially when the tide is going out.
Yes.
Which was coincidentally when this was occurring, and the boatmen moved a mile upriver and had no idea of their traversal. They don't remember rowing that
far. Kind of like we didn't remember walking that far that day.
That's what I was getting ready to say, Ron. What's that make you think?
You remember the story of that group of fishermen? I think it was the late 80s. Yeah. There was like 4 or 5 of them. They all got abducted. None of them remembered what happened until they had hypnosis therapy.
Yep. I remember that. The fire, the campfire. They came back. The campfire was out.
On land several hours later by a truck or something. Yep. And they couldn't remember anything.
Yep. I remember that. This has so many modern features in it really quick. It does. Zigzagging. That's the movement, you know, that qualifies it. The shape, the fact that it, not only the shape, Joe, it has a standing still shape and then it changes shape as it moves. Mm-hmm. So it's got two or three just really remarkable UAP type features here. And then we got Missing Tom.
Yeah.
Probably the first actual account of Missing Tom. And it's always just kind of ignored. That's over on the History Channel's website, by the way. They have that story that you can find it over there.
So aside from some of the more modern activity, what's some of the other stuff that sticks out to you about this exact account? Because this seems a very credible account, because the Puritans were people that if they lied, they would actually like flog somebody.
Oh, they go set fire to themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real. It's you're not going to lie. That's just how it is.
Yep.
And if they've caught you lying, literally you could be burned at the stake for that. I mean, you know, that's not going to happen. So it's very credible. It's a very credible account. And to me, I think that one, above almost all these ancient ones. That one says a lot. And it's also happening in, you know, pretty much the new colonies, right?
Yeah. America's brand new.
There's the involvement again, right there.
You know, one of the scariest things about living back then is like if you did anything.
You were like, witch? No.
I'm well, sorry. Worse than that, if you look at the records from back then, one of the most common punishments for making the town mad was banishment.
Yeah, that's right. And
sometimes you got banished. You were screwed.
Yeah, you were done. Yeah, you voted off the island.
To go live in the woods by yourself.
And Bigfoot.
I vote for banishment for myself.
Yep. I can see that. I can totally see that.
I agree with you, Ron. This to me is one of the most credible. Brandon, what do you think?
Yeah, that one's a pretty good one. I like that one. I like the Nuremberg one because there are a lot of paintings done by people who lived in that area during that time.
Yeah dude.
I think one or two famous painters actually witnessed that themselves.
Well, you know what's really funny about this one, Brandon, is that, you know, with almost all of those accounts, there's somebody who's like, oh, but I have not seen a but with Nuremberg ever. I've not seen one person offer a logical explanation for what they've seen.
Well, so, one of the most common ones that is easy to shoot down is they think it's, a lot of people say meteor shower.
It's not a meteor shower, dude.
Yeah, it's definitely not that because you can trace, because they give an exact date. You can go back through the records and figure out if there was one there or not.
I can give you better than that. We have drawings of meteor showers that go back, you know, into antiquity, farther back than that. And they look like meteors, or they look like, you know, you can make them out. What those were geological shapes, massive deltas in the sky. Some things that even look like star destroyers. I'm not kidding you. That's what they look like. So, and spheres, orbs. We're right back there again.
Some of those actually have the classic saucer shape in those paintings too.
Yeah. And crosses, you know, there's, there they are again. You know, there's all these symbologies that are going on there.
There's I can't remember what painter did it, but there's those paintings of Jesus where there's like random UFOs in the paintings.
Oh, there's a lot of those. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of those.
So this next one comes from a place that I've actually been, so I'm not going to butcher this name. So in July of 1688, the Zoologist, which is a publication, carried a report from a local newspaper in Copiapó, Chile, regarding the gigantic bird with brilliant scales that made a metallic sound as it had been seen flying over the town. In 1931, book Low by Charles Fort, it discussed the report along with various other reports of aerial apparitions from the 19th and 20th century. Fort observed that the inhabitants of the backwoods of China might similarly describe one of Earth's airships floating over their farms.
Oh, it's funny that he did that in 1868, because just a few years later, in 1896 through 1897, it pretty much was airships. And that's when the great airship wave started. And those things were seen all across the U.S. pretty much. They're seen other places as well, but mostly we're just talking about the U.S. here. And they were seeing things like, you know, floating ships with lights on them. They would land and the occupants would come out and talk to people, or, you know, they would hear them talking as they were flying overhead. Now, I do think that some of these were just that. I think they were ships. I think they were airships, because we were just, you know, getting into the age of flight. And that was becoming kind of a new thing. So I think you were seeing your first, you know, those first pioneers in flight. You know, they were just getting there and trying to figure out these things. But there's also this theory, something called cultural tracking. And that is basically that this phenomena, UFO phenomena, can mimic where it thinks, you know, we should be, where it thinks that our culture should be. So it's going to stay right about in the same, you know, the same technological frame where it hides itself, so to speak. No theory, but it kind of pans out, because we had just started learning how to fly with balloons, And here's these balloons that are just a little bit more advanced than they should have been.
Yeah.
The thing I find interesting is just how ingrained the Quetzalcoatl mythology still was in that region at the time, because they described that thing just like him. Exactly like it, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That legend was like, what? They think it's like several thousand years old.
Which one?
Around. Quetzalcoatl.
Oh, the Quetzalcoatl legend. It's timeless, but yeah. That's a fact. Yeah.
Well, in this airship roundup, there was roughly 17 different accounts. And of the 17 accounts, they range across this 1 year time span. And they're like mystery lights over Sacramento. Yeah. Witnesses in Arkansas allegedly saw a airship pilot. Yep. During this sighting, that they actually saw the inhabitant of what was in it, and that this craft was bound for Cuba. One account from Texas, three men reported an encounter with an airship with a total of five peculiarly dressed men. This harkens up to the Betty and Barney Hill report, you know, where they talk about seeing the occupants and that they are very peculiarly dressed. It goes on and on and on. Like you have a year full of these aircraft or airship reports, and it kind of is like a boom similar to Saucer Mania.
Oh, it is exactly Saucer Mania. This is kind of where it started with, you know, these weird things in the sky, but it was one period of time where they all just showed up. And then, of course, you know, during that wave, we must not forget that is April 19th, 1897. Yeah,
the big one.
That was when you know, Judge Proctor had the crash on his land. It's the windmill, and we don't know what exactly happened, but that was in Aurora, Texas, and allegedly, body was recovered. And this little guy was given a Christian burial out there in the cemetery where he stayed forever. And until he
and was the judge proclaimed that this was not an inhabitant of this world.
Yeah.
You know, that's extremely important to reference, especially with the modern stuff going around, you know, non-human intelligence.
Oh, yeah.
Non-human biologics.
Yep. I mean, you know, back then. Yeah, when it started to be kind of, I guess, investigated sometime. When was it? Was it like, I don't remember what year it was when they went out to investigate it. But that was when MUFON went out and they were going to do an investigation with it. And then the grave itself just disappears. There's a hole in the grave, like they had taken something out or whatnot. And allegedly, right before that, they had found something on metal detector and they would come back in there and, I guess, exhumed the grave and there's nothing there. It was over. There's no ping anymore. The metal detector didn't work anymore. The stone was gone. The stone was there for years.
It got a high rating there or something.
I don't know.
Well nearby, wasn't it?
You're thinking about something with that, I think, because there was a rumor that they'd stashed some of the stuff down the well or something at one point. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know what happened out there, but it did culminate in that crash, allegedly, you know.
Well, and if you guys are interested in hearing more about that crash specifically, we covered it back in season one of Wild and Weird Radio. And you can go back and listen to that. We did a really deep segment off of the Aurora crash. And there's a lot of good information there if you want to go back and listen to it.
That was the UFOs. You guys talked about some
stuff that I didn't know before that episode. It was a good episode.
What was that? That was UFO something, part one and part two.
Yeah, it was part one and part two.
But UFOs through history.
Yep.
Part one and part two. Yeah, that's right. Season one.
So moving forward, we referenced this one earlier, and that is the Battle of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think of the Battle of Los Angeles? I mean, I know it was thought to have been a possible Japanese attack that got caught, but we fired off a heck of a lot of rounds.
Yeah. So at 2:25 a.m. throughout Los Angeles, a total blackout was ordered. Air raid sirens go off. You know, everyone's asleep and all of a sudden they're just jarred awake, right? And the sirens go off and lights, you know, everyone turns their lights out because that's what you do. It was, you know, and then 1,400 shells were fired into the sky.
And now, those, to put this in reference, this is not 1,400 shells out of a rifle. This is 1,400 glorious kabooms that take place, rattling and shaking windows. Mm. You know, 1,400 big bellowing booms.
Yeah, 50 calibers. And there was also 12 8-pound anti-aircraft shells that were fired, by the way. Yeah. Dude, remember, that's insane.
There were numerous people who had to go to the hospital for hearing issues from that. There was actually a couple houses that were hit from shrapnel. Well,
five civilians died during this.
Yeah.
Again, here's another thing. Can you imagine if this happened today? Can you imagine? But
they made a movie about it called The Battle of Los Angeles.
They did. They did. But, you know, not quite like this, though. Not
great, album by Rage Against the Machine.
Right.
You know.
But yeah, no, you're not wrong. If something like this happened today, it would be invasion has occurred.
Dude.
And it'd be all over social media, smeared everywhere. And in fact, we just blew the snot out of a cloud.
It was from 2:25 a.m. to 4:14 a.m. that they shot and they shot and they shot and they were blowing this thing up, whatever it was. And the spotlights are on it. You can see there's a craft. There's something up there.
And this is a 2-hour time frame. Okay. Like,
that's a lot.
I know I make jokes because I'm a military guy and about military grade and me being military grade, that's not great. But like 2 hours is enough for even like the lowest scorer on any of these tests to be able to like, you know, there's nothing up there. We should probably stop shooting. Two hours.
But they saw it.
And they lit this thing like the 4th of July.
And it didn't matter.
We heard that before.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was it they tried to say? It was a weather phenomenon or something.
Yeah, they said it was a cloud.
Oh, they tried to say it was a cloud, dude.
They tried to say it was like a big lenticular cloud.
Yeah, no.
There was something there. I'm sorry.
Whatever it was, it was laughing at them.
Because, you know, they've tried to argue this thing away as, you know, nerves being peaked because of the attack at Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
And the, you know, the Japanese.
They blamed it. Yeah. Yeah, they blamed it on the Imperial Japanese Navy at the time.
I can blame the knee-jerk response on that. Because they might have been like, oh, they're going to use airships now instead of airplanes. They're trying to make us, you know, feel like it's not a threat.
Well, balloon bombs.
Weather balloon.
The Japanese balloon bombs. It's the same thing.
But after 2 hours?
Yeah, right.
No fire. Like, I think after about, honest to God, like if any rational person, if you're blasting this thing away, you're going to figure out it's a cloud after about, at least, and I'm being like very, very generous. 10 minutes in, a few hundred rounds in, figured it out. This thing is not solid. This is a cloud. We need to chill out, relax. No, 2 hours.
Yeah, you don't shoot at a cloud for 2 hours.
That Chinese weather balloon flew over Canada and half of the continental U.S. before we decided to do anything about it.
I think there's a logical reason for that.
Is that like the same thought process the government had for that?
Well, there's some logical reasoning behind that that, you know, we really won't discuss on the air. but yeah, that like, you know, it's one of those like if you know, you know, kind of reason things without going too deep into some stuff.
It's just going to go on too long.
I was wondering if Eisenhower was alerted and was picking up the phone and calling Khrushchev or whoever was in charge at the time. Is this yours?
I mean, somebody, a 2-hour time frame, somebody was called.
Yeah.
But somebody
making calls.
Moving over to another very credible set of reports that spanned about 2 to 3 years would be the Foo Fighters.
Now, guys, before we go there, on this little timeline, we're in 1942 right now, right?
And so these guys were still screaming out, give me the best, the best, the best, right?
No, that's the wrong ones. Oh. It's the wrong Foo Fighters, bud. Oh. This is 1942. And they were not on
Tom Slip. Tom Slip. It solves it.
That's it. It's Tom Slip. So 1942, right before that, according to our whistleblower there last year, Mr. Crush, he says 1939 that something was recovered. So in 1942, now knowing what we know there, so in 1942, apparently the Royal Air Force personnel had reported seeing lights that followed their aircraft, but they had seen them from as early as March 1942, and with similar sightings involving the Royal Air Force bomber crews over the Balkan sightings in April of 1944. So they all got together eventually. They kind of started comparing notes. We're all seeing the same thing. So the first American sighting was actually recorded by the crews of the 422nd Night Fighter Squadron stationed in occupied Belgium at the time and during the week of October 1944. Now, what they had seen basically was these objects were fallen aircraft. They were variously described as fiery. They were glowing red, white, or orange. Physical descriptions would resemble a Christmas tree at times, Christmas tree lights. Reported that they seemed to toy with the aircraft. Does that sound familiar? They make wild turns and simply vanish. Sounds familiar still, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the pilots with their air crews, they all reported that the objects flew together in formations with their aircraft and behaved as if they were intelligently controlled. They displayed, however, no hostile behavior. They just tested our systems, basically, is what I just read to you. That's what that was.
Which is remarkably similar to the Nimitz.
Yeah. And they could not be.
The gimbal.
Yeah. They couldn't be outmaneuvered, and they could not be shot down. After the war was over, they basically got together and they tried to figure out what these things were. They were called Foo Fighters off of some people think that they named them that because of a Japanese thing, but that's not what that is. It was named after a comic strip at the time, a very popular comic strip at the time, because they really were referring to them as Kraut Fireballs.
Yeah, the Kraut Fireballs is probably my favorite nickname, but Foo Fighters, man, you can't get much better than Foo Fighters, man. Yeah. Clearly, Dave Grohl was like, I'm using this.
Yeah.
I wonder how excited Tom DeLonge was when he first heard that band name, and then he probably talked to Dave Grohl and was like, oh, he's really not into aliens.
That's probably true, actually.
Yeah, it probably is, because Tom, it's never been a secret. He never kept it a secret, his interest in the UFO phenomena. I mean, there were songs written about
it. I think it was their second album that the song UFOs Are Real was on there.
Yep.
Well, Bill Holloman's the one who came up with the term foo, which basically was a nonsense word.
Yeah,
it was. And it basically just meant, you know, it's foo to foo with it, right? So it's just it's nonsense.
Well, and you can look at it in this regard too. It's like it was a nonsense word because these things were behaving nonsensically.
They made no sense whatsoever.
They made no sense. They flew with them, didn't attack.
Yep.
During that wartime, you're like, you see something flying with you, it's guns hot, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It makes no sense whatsoever. So, you know, so he came up with the term and said, yeah, that's what we're going to call them. And boom, that's the name stuck. So I think it was,
some of my favorite UFO stories come from some of those pilots, man. It's remarkable.
They're crazy. I mean, those sightings are just absolutely insane. I mean, they followed the planes. You know, we actually have some grainy pictures of them, which I think are just as good as some of the, you know, what we have today, honestly. I mean, they're still grainy. You know, we haven't seen too many that aren't grainy. Or they haven't, you know, they're shot from so far away. When you zoom in on them, they pixelate out.
UFOs are grainy.
Possible. I mean, that's, I think we need to look into that possibility. That takes us up to 1946. And that was an interesting time because it was in 1946 that mostly it was in Sweden too. and around Finland that the first reports of these ghost rockets were seen. Mm-hmm. And that's February 26, 1946, actually. They, there's about, and when I say seen, I don't mean like a couple hundred sightings. No, there was over 2,000 sightings of these things logged between May and December of 1946. And the peak was on the 9th and 11th of August, 1946, actually. Hundreds of sightings were verified with radar returns as well. And the authorities recovered physical fragments, which were attributed to these ghost rockets. The investigations concluded that those rockets, however, were probably just caused by meteors.
Well, you know, that time of year, you got to take into consideration as a researcher.
I saw that.
Perseid shower.
Yep. It's right there.
That time of year.
It's right there. But, so there is a very popular meteor shower at that time of year.
According to the reports, these sightings of these rocket-shaped craft, or cigar, modern-day terms, were, it was also occurring during non-meteor shower periods of time.
May to December. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, I've been out there during the Perseids. I've seen some incredible Perseids meteor showers, but I've never recovered any. They never just fell around me. You know, that's kind of reaching, I think, but, you know, whatever.
The whole point of what you're seeing with the Perseids, it's everything's burning up in the atmosphere. That's why it's so brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. But something was out there, you know, and a lot of people think that that was, it was basically Soviet testing and whatnot over, you know, on the border. They were testing some stuff out. It's possible. It's absolutely possible. I mean, it's 1946. Why not? Yeah. Cold War had pretty much just started at that point. So, yeah, I could totally see that happening. But the point of this all has been just to show that there's so much similarity in some of this stuff as to what is going on today. I mean, we really need to look at some of these old accounts.
Yeah.
And then look at what we're seeing today with all the video that's coming out, the credible video, not the Miami Mall stuff. I'm talking about the actual stuff that the Defense Department's released, you know, with the TikTok, the gimbal, and even the weird thing that, you know, Corbell's showing around out there now, I guess. But before that, let's talk about the ones that we do know about. A lot of these incidents sound very familiar. They're displaying the same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is not new. None of this is new. We've said a million times. What we're seeing today is a continuation of everything that's happened in the past. I know everyone thinks, oh, we're, you know, we're on the verge of this major thing. I mean, we might be. That's a fact. I don't know. I think we are. But is that major thing going to be another, you know, Battle of Nuremberg? Is it going to be another Battle of L.A.? Ghost rockets where 2,000 pieces are falling out of the sky? What happened? No one cares. It didn't change anything. No one gives a crap anymore. Now they just ignore it, and it's just an old story.
Yeah, I mean, they collect pieces now and put them in glass jars. Like, looky, I got UFO chunks.
Yeah. I mean,
is that selling them on TikTok?
Is that what's going to happen, though? That's what I'm getting at. It's like, is there a possibility that all of this is just going to be, oh, well, it's no big deal.
Well, I think it's very real, especially if you go back and, again, listen to another old episode, Assimilation.
No, Assimilation, yeah.
You know, the numbing effect that this information being disseminated in the way that it has been has had on us as a society, and not just American society, but global society.
Global, yeah. I agree.
What do you think, Brandon?
Yeah. I don't think there's going to be much of a reaction unless they haul a body in front of Congress and let the public see it. If they just say, oh, yeah, there's things in the sky that we don't know what they are, the public's just going to be like, eh. Kind of like what they did in 2017.
Yeah.
It's no different than what they did with any of this, honestly. Yeah. So unless, like you said, Brandon, you're right. Unless somebody put something on display that's legit, 100%, can't be denied, you know, not a hoax, something that's real that science can look at and show the data. If they do that, then yeah, things will change. But if not, or,
maybe if they did an unveiling like in the 80s when Reagan unveiled the stealth bomber on live TV. Remember that?
I remember that's pretty epic.
You made a big deal about that leading up to it.
It's a big deal. It was a big deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we had reverse engineered that from, you know, all that alien technology for years, and I was proud of it. So I'll roll that out there and show you guys. But that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. It's like, is everything here just relegated to, if it doesn't go where you just said, Brandon, if it doesn't go to where we get some kind of proof. And by the way, we didn't talk about that in the news, but there is a little bit of evidence that suggests we might be really close to that proof that's coming, and that's on the back burner next. That might be the next play, is that they are going to announce that they do have some kind of actual evidence of distant life. If that can of worms gets opened at this point.
For a deep dive conversation on that, just look at yesterday's episode.
Yeah.
Because it'll be part of the topics on our live.
Yeah, we're going to go into that. So, yeah. So basically what I'm saying to you guys is, I think it was relevant to touch on all this stuff for us, in the coming, you know, we got so many people who are like, oh, this has never happened before. You know, this is the end of the world or some giant alien invasion. Dude, there's Nuremberg woodcut, nothing like that. That's not Miami.
I think a good indication of what this, skiff with Congress is going to actually what's actually going to happen is to watch their reactions, watch their faces when they talk about it, and you'll be able to know if something big was actually told to them or not.
It'll come out. Read their poker face.
It'll come out.
Remember that one guy last year? He came out and told everybody to lock their doors and whatnot. Like, that was a good indicator that something.
That's a guy you want to play poker with.
Yeah.
Right.
You're going to win.
He can't hold a poker face for nothing.
You're going to win against him. But yeah, that was pretty much it. I just thought that this would be a good topic for us to touch because, like I said, there's a lot of people freaking out and thinking that, you know, this is all new. Yeah. Well, we just showed you it's not new. And that's just a little sampling of it. There's so much more.
Well, guys, we've hit several of these topics. We've looked at various reports that happened in the pre-modern era going up into World War II. If you want more of that UFO through history stuff, go back and listen to part one and part two.
Back audio only, I believe, right, Joe?
In audio only formats. Yeah. You're going to have to head over to the wherever podcasts are found, wherever you listen to your podcasts at.
We'll link it.
Listen to those there. That'll be down in the show notes. Remember, every Thursday, if you're not coming and hanging out with us on Thursday, you're doing something wrong. Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, we are live on YouTube, and it's a very audience-driven show. You know, we show up with a topic that we're going to talk about, but we wind up going down all these different rabbit trails and letting you guys guide the show and direct it the way you want it to go, because it really is your show.
Some of the best shows, man.
They really are. I look forward to them every week. It is my midweek pick me up to get me through. And honest to God, we hear that from a lot of our listeners.
Yeah, they do. It's like
they look forward to the Thursday lives just because they get to hang out with like-minded people. And it's a great community that has grown over there.
And then Friday's the next day, and then a weekend. So it's just, it's natural. Yep.
Bam, 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 bam. And, you know, you guys are all fantastic. Thank you all for listening to us week in, week out, downloading all the stuff. And I pulled it up. We're going to do our first one of the year here.
Who we got?
Our number one city in the United States right now is New York, New York.
New York.
Yep.
That's awesome.
They were responsible for 2% of total downloads this month so far. Obviously, in the country's side of things, the US and the UK, they are leading the way, followed by Canada and Australia. But man, I'm telling you, number five is a ground shaker. They have never been in the top five. They've never actually even been in the top 10.
Jamaica.
My brothers and sisters in Jamaica, thank you for listening to us. Yes. You guys are all fantastic, and I hope you are keeping it wild and weird down there in the islands.
Yes.
you all listening from Jamaica, if you want to shoot us an email, tell us what part of Jamaica you're from. Tell us some weird encounters that you might have had down there living the beach life and seeing some things, because your skies sometimes at night are crystal clear, and you get all there's a lot of UFO activity down in the island areas. So if you've ever seen anything, report it. We're not just a West Virginia podcast. This is a global podcast. If you've had sightings from anywhere in the world, you can report those sightings over to Wild and Weird West Virginia or wildandweirdwv.com and just hit the report a sighting tab and then fill out the report and send it over to us, and we'll be able to see it. If you want it to remain anonymous, you can click that tab and we won't read it on the air. But if you want us to read it on the air, you can even put notes for that. Like, hey, yeah, read this on the air. That'd be great.
Just don't use my name. You know, that's cool.
And then right behind the Jamaica, we got the Philippines. So, you know, we've got a great international following going into 2024. You all are absolutely amazing. So back over here into the United States, looking at the city lineup, our top five city lineup, we've got New York at number one, Columbus, Ohio at number two, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at number three, Lexington, Kentucky, we love you guys,
there's our people,
they're coming in at number four, and Albuquerque, New Mexico, coming in at number five. Y'all over in Albuquerque, New Mexico, y'all got any stories about Dulce?
You want to share? Got some stories. Come on.
I know. You can shoot us an email at wildandweirdwv@gmail.com and catch us there. We'd love to hear some stories from New Mexico. You guys have a rich history of high strangeness, and I mean, that's our jam.
Yeah, it is. I mean, they got everything out there, from underground bases, the Taos Hum. They've got, you know, the thing we can't talk about. They've got a lot of stuff.
Right? Right. I'm
not far from there.
Yeah, it's not too far. So yeah, reach out to your brothers and sisters over there in Nevada and share it with them. So we'd like to get some of those guys over here too. That'd be great.
So big shout out to you guys. That was the last month's top listenership. Awesome. You guys are great. We haven't done that for a while, and I'm going to start throwing that back into the closing mix here and there.
For sure.
So you guys hang out towards the end of the episode. You never know what cities and where you're from, and we might ask you for certain things to let us know that you're actually hearing us. But jump on over to the YouTube, like, share, and subscribe that with your friends, and hang out with us every Thursday night, 8 p.m. We're live. It's a party. And if you want to support the show, that's one of the best ways to do it too. You go over, you can join us there. There's super chatters. And if you want to join that super chatter lineup that's growing week by week, it's your opportunity to. And remember, there's no Patreon, there's no subscriptions. Nope. This is just people donating, keeping it free for eons and eons to come. And some of the rewards that come out of that, some of the stuff that comes from that, that you guys get to see the fruit of and experience, are absolutely going to blow some of y'all's mind. We've got a workshop coming up in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. It's going to be a high strangeness workshop. You do not want to miss it. We've got a lot of awesome stuff lined up. You guys, it's literally going to be like, we're not even telling you. There's some of the stuff we're not even telling you till the workshop that you're not going to find out. It's going to be cool.
10-foot aliens.
We should be able to announce that date next week. So hang tight, and you want to show up to the live. Those are going to be the folks that find out first. All right.
10-foot aliens coming out of the Point
Pleasant. 10-foot aliens.
That's what I've heard.
The TNT bunkers.
I heard it's happening.
Well, guys, thanks for hanging out with us yet again for Wild and Weird Way Radio. You guys are all awesome. Brandon, you can find Brandon over at Brandon Writes Horror, or Brandon Author, or Arthur Brandon. Is that right? Which one?
Depends. Brandon Writes Horror is Twitter. Horror Brandon is on Instagram, and then Brandon.Wills.Author is on Facebook, because none of them would let me have the same username for some reason.
Oh my gosh.
You can find me at Joe Perdue on Facebook, or Joe Perdue even. I think I'm Joe Perdue over on the TikTok. I'm actually going to be starting to make some TikTok videos for you guys soon. I know. I said I was going to do that last year and didn't, but New Year's resolution, more TikTok videos from me. Then you can find me at Skinwalker Sculpts on Instagram. And then you can find Ron at Lanham Ron on Instagram, I think. And then Ron Lanham on Facebook. And then you're the Mothman artist on TikTok.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know. I can't remember. I honestly don't know because, you know, social media. The only one that I even do is pretty much Facebook, just to stay in touch with our group and whatnot. So, yeah, if you're trying to reach me on Instagram, it's going to be hard.
Thanks for tuning in. You're all amazing. We've went through all the details. So remember, if you find yourself at a mall in Miami and there's a 10-foot alien, turn on your stinking camera so that way everybody knows.
It's not hard.
Look, otherwise, we're just going to assume it's like, you know.
That's all you got to do. Just touch your button. You know how easy this is now?
Stay wild and weird, everybody.